So what are we talking about today?
Well, we had talked about our first prompt being talking about my first birthday, my literal birthday, and then maybe Billy and Laura's literal birthdays.
Yes.
If that's still good for you, we could take ourselves back to August 13th, 1970. And
it's tell good me for me
about that day.
One of the best days of my life.
Oh, well.
What can I say? And here you are 50 years later, still the best days of my life.
Oh, come on. So,
oh, come on. Me,
where were you guys living? What was
Dad doing? We were living in Quail Creek Apartments on the loop, which I can't remember the number, maybe 520 in San Antonio, the loop that goes around the city, which was sort of in between Randolph Air Force Base, where your dad, Bill, was working, and Lackland Air Force Base, which is where Wilford Hall Hospital is, which is where you were born. So we had moved to San Antonio in July, and you were due in August. We had moved from San Francisco, where it was lovely and cool and pleasant, to San Antonio, where it was extraordinarily hot and a shock to the system, mine especially. Anyway, we had a great swimming pool with the apartment where we were renting, and so I spent my days floating on a raft in the pool with you, which is probably one reason you love the water so much, right?
And floating on rafts and pools.
Exactly. Anyway, so yeah, we were there, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and my water broke in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock on the night of the 12th, and I woke up your dad and said, I think I need to go to the hospital. My water broke, and he got up, and we got ready and got in the car and drove to Wilford Hall, which was, I guess, a 45-minute drive. Got there, and it happened to be a full moon. And as I recall, I think it was Friday the 13th. I would have to look up that date and be sure. But anyway,
it was a Thursday. I'm pretty sure.
It's Thursday. Well, anyway, you were not born for 18 hours later, so that was the 12th. Mm-hmm. And there were so many women in the hospital delivering babies, probably because of the full moon, that they just kind of pushed me aside because I wasn't really going into hard labor, and they gave me something to keep me from going into hard labor. They were so busy. So it was a long 18 hours. And then you were born right before midnight on the 13th. So I was there like a day and a half almost before you were born.
Was I due or past due, or how?
No, you were late, actually, a week or two late, as I recall.
I've never been late again.
You've never been late again. All three of you were late, actually. You did not want to leave the womb.
That sounds about right.
You were happy with your mom.
Yep.
So you were delivered. I think you weighed 7 pounds, 6 ounces. You were delivered right before midnight. I had not had any, they won't let you eat, of course, you know. So I had not had anything to eat for like 18 hours. I said to your dad, you've got to go get me a burger or some tacos or something. I'm starving to death. And so he went out. And of course, at that time, 1970, nothing was open that late at night. And so a nurse came in to check my vitals or something. And I said, I haven't had anything to eat. I'm starving. And she was like, well, you know, there's no food service now. And she said, let me go look. And she brought me part of a box of vanilla wafers and a glass of orange juice.
Oh,
which tasted better than I had ever than anything had ever tasted. Yeah, it was. Uh-huh. I was like, awesome. Anyway, so back in those days, it was a typical military hospital. You did not have a private room, so they put me in a ward with like 8 other women who had just had babies. You know, I was 26 years old. They were all like 18. They could not believe that you were my first baby. Most of them had
all military women.
I was the old, yeah. I was the I was a grandmother on the ward. Yeah. This is your first baby and you're 26 years old. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I think we were in the hospital for 2 or 3 days. You were a little bit jaundiced and they had to put you under the light, which they do most babies anyway. They put you under a light that, you know, gets your liver going. And anyway, so we went home after about 3 days and we had lots of visitors within the first couple of weeks. Grandmom and granddad came, and well, the first visitor actually was Uncle Richard and his friend Alan, who were on their way to medical school in Galveston.
For the first year?
Yeah, their first year. They stopped by.
Coming from El Paso?
Yeah, had a visit. And that was good. And then grandmom and granddad came. And I think they had been with them. I cannot remember. They must have.
Also from El Paso.
Yeah, also from El Paso. And Harry and Gracie came. Steve came. They had been in Europe, and I think they had just come back, and he came and spent a few days with us.
Where was he coming from when he came there?
He was coming. They were stationed in Germany somewhere at an army base. I cannot remember.
And where were Harry and Gracie living at that time?
They were living in Denver.
Oh, okay. Already. Right. Yeah. And so when Steve came to visit, he came directly from Germany, or had he come back to the States for other things?
He was on his way back from Germany, and so was Vicky. I think she had gone to see her parents in Dallas, and he was on the way to, he had picked up his car where he had it in storage somewhere. And I think he was on the way to see his parents in mm-hmm. Denver. They had been in Germany, you know, three years, mm-hmm. I think.
And where did they land when they came back from Germany? Was Dallas where they headed?
No, I'm sure they probably landed in New Jersey, which is where everybody landed coming back from Germany.
Well,
when they came back from Germany, he got stationed in Vietnam.
Oh,
so
okay.
Vicky was going home and he was going to Vietnam.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's not what I was expecting, but that's interesting.
Yeah. When he graduated from helicopter school, instead of going to Vietnam right off, which most of them did, he got stationed in Germany. Huh. And I think the place they lived in was called Worm, you know, like worm, Worm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a big base there, which, you know, I'm an Air Force brat. I don't know all the names of the Army bases. So.
Yeah. So, well, that's a little bit of a tangent, but going back to the day of the 13th, today it's, you know, husband in the delivery room, et cetera. Was dad at work, or was he like, what was he doing you were in the hospital?
He was hanging around in the, men were not allowed in the delivery room.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
At that point. So he would come in every once in a while to the room I was in where they were monitoring me, which was not the delivery room. But basically he was just in the patient waiting room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So wandering around, I'm sure, going crazy, nervous. Yeah. It's so different now, you know, they have the birthing rooms and the entire family can come in. It's very, uh-huh. very.
And so you guys were new in town from San Francisco. Did you have good friends in San Antonio, or did he like, what?
No.
Was it just the two of you pretty much? Like,
yeah, it was just the two of us. And then, your dad's boss, George Stewart, and his wife, Jean, took us on.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like we were long lost relatives and mm-hmm. we became fast friends. But at the time you were born, I was pretty much on my own.
So that was when you first met them, that coincided with me being born more or less.
Yep. Yep. Wow, and of course they had a teenage daughter, Janine. And so, yeah, the thought of, and Jean's mother, lived with them, Grandma Stewart, and, they were thrilled to be able to share a new baby. So yeah, you were the hit of the San Antonio Air Force group there.
Well, and we
I took you everywhere with me. You know, they didn't have daycare or anything like that back then. I just took you in your little carrier, and you were like a gem. You were like,
and they reappeared in our life in Virginia, didn't they? Were they stationed in Norfolk at some time? Do I remember that right?
Yep, they did. Yep.
And then they turned out to be Billy's godparents, right? Or Mike, whose godparents? No, they're Billy's godparents.
George and Jean, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Because your godparents were Janine and Larry Poole, who were in Wimberley. You know?
Yeah, uh-huh, yep.
Yeah, strangely enough, who retired in Wimberley.
That's cool. There's a good bit of things in there that I didn't know. I looked up the Quail Creek Apartments, and it sent me somewhere else. So I don't know if
they were on the north. They were on the north side of the loop, not far from St. Mary's private girls school, Episcopal school. Do you see that?
I'm seeing, that's on 410. Okay.
Maybe that was 410. Anyway, they may have been torn down. You know, that was 50 years ago, for God, heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
I will tell you a couple of funny things, though. You know, we only had one car, so your dad took it to work every day. And if I needed the car, I had to get you up in the morning and get you ready to travel and take him to work and then go grocery shopping. And, you know, it was a long day. But anyway, so I had that pram from Sambo and Kate. That they had when Todd was born in England, and they had given to me.
That one, the one that existed all the way until Austin, I think Laura got rid of it. Is that the one?
No, actually, Anna and Billy used it for William.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That thing has, I'm telling you, prams never die. And they gave it away. It was still in good shape. And, you know, it had those shock absorbers and everything. Oh. Typical British, right?
Yeah.
The tonneau cover for bad weather. And it was awesome. So I would stack all of our dirty clothes in that thing with you in it to take to the laundromat. We would walk to the laundromat to do the laundry because we didn't have a washer and dryer in the apartments. Anyway, so you and I would take the pram and go to the laundromat and spend 2 or 3 hours down there. I would take you something to eat, feed you while you were in there. And then the other thing that you and I did, I might add that we were inseparable, Ben, was that was the year that they came out with that innovative teach a baby to swim. And so when you were like 3 years old, I would take you out in the swimming pool and push you underwater and you would breathe and I'd bring you
three,
back up.
Three, now that, how 3 years?
3 weeks.
Three weeks old.
Yeah. Wow. They don't recommend that anymore, but apparently it had no effect on you. You learned how to swim really early.
Why don't they recommend it? Just because it's dangerous?
They think you need to wait until the baby's like 6 months old or something. But anyway, I'm proof that it worked. So, yeah. You and I would go under together. We would look at each other. Right?
Yeah.
And blow bubbles, and you would just blow them naturally. I mean, you know, it was just weird. And they say amazing. Once you get past that from being in the womb, it's a natural thing, apparently. But you know, once you get older than a couple of months or something, then you, instead of that, you suck in water, you know, instead of breathing out.
Okay.
Anyway,
in the womb, are you breathing water in the womb, or what's the deal with that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's the umbilical cord. I don't know how that works, but anyway, apparently some, you know, scientific study said, oh, babies do that, you know, breathe out naturally, whatever. Anyway.
Awesome.
Your first day. So your dad was as proud as a peacock because you were born in God's country.
That being Texas.
Yeah. You know, of course, your dad and I had never had a kid. We didn't know what to do with you. I mean, I had babysat a lot, but
was he concerned that I might have been a California baby?
Probably very concerned. Probably not at the time, actually, but he was determined you were going to be born in Texas, period. So, and I think I told you, your dad came home in San Francisco and he was like, I got some bad news, some good news and some bad news. And I was like, well, what is that? And he was like, well, our team has been chosen to go to Top Gun. And he said, but it's when we need to drive to San Antonio, when we need to move to San Antonio. You can do that by yourself, right? And I was like, are you kidding? You want me to, I'm 7 months, 8 months pregnant. You want me and the dog to drive across the mountains and the Sahara Desert and whatever, and go to San Antonio without any help? He was like, well, yeah, you can do it. Anyway, so of course, yeah. In the end, your dad went to Top Gun, flew to Top Gun, and they actually beat the Navy. They won, which was, you know, fabulous.
Yes.
If you've ever seen the movie Top Gun, you would. So that was in July, right before
July,
while we were moving.
Wow.
And so Richard flew to San Francisco and drove across with me. Huh. Richard and me and Rebel the dog.
Mm-hmm. And what car were y'all in?
We were in the 1967 Cutlass Supreme convertible. So
nice.
we actually had a fun trip. You know, mm-hmm. what's all Richard could think about was Hunter Thompson and driving across from, you know,
of course,
from San Francisco to San Antonio.
Uh-huh. Did he document the milestones along the way?
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway. So yeah, we made it to San Antonio, and your dad.
So, do you remember your route? How do you go? Did you go from San Francisco to Las Vegas to Austin, or do you?
We did. It's brutal to get across those mountains, and I'm trying to remember. I think we went to Tahoe. You know, up to Tahoe and across. There are only a couple of passes that go across those Sierra Nevada mountains. Mm-hmm. You know what? We went south. We went south and then across somewhere. And we did. We went to Vegas. We went through all that desert. Vegas, Phoenix, you know, El Paso, San Antonio in July. Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
Oh, did you stop to see the El Paso crew on that trip?
No, because...
You're too far north. It would have been crazy.
We were too far north, yeah. Anyway, it was an interesting trip. So, but we made
cool.
it.
I yeah. didn't know about that. So what, tell me more about your apartment. Was it, tell me what was it like?
It was like a typical, you know, newlywed apartment. It was two bedrooms, two bathrooms.
I'm envisioning something like your classic sort of Holiday Inn looking built around a pool.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Apartment. Were you guys on the top floor?
We were on the first floor. Yeah, I do remember one thing. You know, there was no such thing as being worried about energy back then, right? Uh-huh. So we would crank the air conditioner down to about 65 and then have a fire in the fireplace. We were so excited to have a fireplace.
Oh my God. There were fireplaces in the apartment? That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we had a little courtyard that was probably about 10 by 10 with a crepe myrtle in it, and no grass, just concrete. So there was nowhere for a Rebel to, you know, go to the bathroom or anything. So we would have to walk him, and there was no covered parking. So it was hot as heck, you know. But anyway, it was a nice little apartment. I mean, at least we thought it was at the time. We'd probably think it was a heap right now, but.
Yeah, they were new
apartments at the time, and we were only going to be there for a year, and there was no base housing, so it was pretty much, you know, we were happy to get it.
Cool. Well,
and you know what, we had a really fun year that year in San Antonio with you as a 1 year, you know, that first year of your life. Your dad came home every night, which was certainly unusual. I mean, he had been in Vietnam for three tours. And then when we lived in San Francisco, they sat alert at Siskiyou Air Force Base, I think was the name of it, in Oregon, every other week for a week. So he was gone a lot, but it was awesome to have him home that first year with you.
How long were you all in San Antonio?
A year. It was a year assignment. From there we went to Norfolk, but I was going to tell you one other funny thing, saying that we were like, we had never had a kid. We didn't know what we were doing. But anyway, your dad rented leased a dove lease, of course, right? You know, your dad loved to shoot birds. And so I'd put you in the backpack throw in a couple of bottles and something, whatever, to eat, and put on my boots and jeans, and we'd go out dove hunting. It's amazing you aren't deaf, you know.
You're right.
Didn't even think about covering your ears. You would sleep the whole time. I'd be following your dad around, and it was kind of south and east of it was like a half hour drive out of town. Mm-hmm. It was pretty close, but anyway, yeah. So yeah,
cool. Well, I'm gonna send you a picture from Google Maps of the apartment building that I pulled up. It's now called Silver something, but it's on Quail Creek on 410. I don't think there's a 520 in San Antonio, so I think you might be thinking.
Yeah, it is 410. Yeah.
No, because it is up by Randolph on that part of the loop. So not a big deal, but it'd be fun to know if it's still there.
What's the number on the highway? I do remember it was four numbers. It was like 28, 36 or some, you know.
Hold on. Let's see here. 8438 Quail Creek.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, that's amazing. So you were just talking about what Dad was doing in San Antonio that year. What is Siskiyou, and I kind of glazed over when you were saying that.
No, that was when we were in California. When he was in California, he was with the Air Defense Command, which protects the United States, right? So they would go sit alert. They would take their airplanes and go sit alert on the coast in Oregon every other week for like 5 days, and then come back.
When you say sit alert, what does that mean?
Well, it means they would fly over there, and then it was like the planes were in hangars, and it was like being a fireman, basically.
Okay. You know,
they lived upstairs, and if the alert came on or they had a practice alert, they came down the fire pole.
It was somebody
coming in from the Pacific. Well, let's see. Okay. It would have been, you know, it was still during the Vietnam War. It would have been something in the Pacific. So, you know, they had to be airborne within, you know, what, 10 minutes or something. So they would jump into their, put on their gear, jump in their airplanes and take off and go out over the Pacific and pretend to, you know, whatever, shoot down somebody.
Have fun.
Yeah. Thank you. That is correct.
Awesome. And then what was he doing in San Antonio?
He was selected for, a new program, and it was called the ASTRO, ASTRO.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, program. Mm-hmm. And it was a special program for officers that they thought had great potential to go far. So basically it was a 1-year assignment, and he went and he worked administratively. He also flew some to get his flying time in. Mm-hmm. But it was about assignments and what to do with pilots. There were so many pilots that were lost during the Vietnam War that it was a real struggle to figure out how to cover everything safely. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And it had something to do with that. So, and interestingly enough, a fellow that came in from that had been stationed in England, Ted Reese, who was, Click and Mary Reese's son, who we had all known before. Mom and Dad were very good friends of Click and Mary Reese when we lived in Kansas City. Anyway, he got stationed in the same group as Bill. He was more senior than Bill. I think he was probably between Bruce and Sambo's age. But anyway, so we got to see them a lot too. So that was kind of fun that year too.
I feel like I've heard that name a lot growing up.
I'm sure you have. Reese's.
Because
when we were stationed in Tampa, when your dad was getting ready to go to Vietnam again, and you were like 18 months old, mm-hmm. we went to Winter Park and spent the night with them.
Okay.
Click and Mary. Yeah,
okay. I hear the stories you tell, and then the stories Grandma and Granddad used to tell, and it makes me feel like the Air Force used to be this world where everybody knew each other, or at least everybody knew of, or
well,
there was like a
well,
2-degree
was,
connection between everybody at maximum.
I agree. And, you know, so when you look, you know, when you look at the military as a whole, it's a lot of people. When you segregate the enlisted and the officers, it gets way smaller. When you segregate the fighter pilots, it gets way smaller.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, and you're right. So, you normally would run into somebody that you knew or had known, or at least had knowledge of, you know, everywhere you went, because it was a small world. You know, there were only so many F-4 pilots. And, you know, that's just the way it was. Yeah, it was more like a family. You're right. So.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, that was a fun discussion. And we're coming up on about an hour here. Do you feel like accelerating to Uniontown, Alabama, 1974? Or should we wait for another time to talk about that?
Well, let's wait for Billy. I'll give you guys each. Let's talk about your second year.
Okay, that's good for me.
Okay, so I can't remember where we had your first birthday, but I'm sure it was at the beach. I'll have to look that up.
When was my first visit to the beach?
Oh, it was when you were little. I'll have to look back in those old photo albums, but moms. The reason I say that is because the assignment was a year in San Antonio. We would have left there in July and probably had a month off. We probably came to the beach during that period and stayed at Aunt Mary and Uncle Jimmy's, you know, because from there we went to Norfolk to that 6-month school that your dad was in there, the Navy War College. He got
that's what I was going to ask. The Norfolk base is a Navy base, right?
Yeah, and that was another, like the Astro program. Your dad was headed for high ground in the Air Force. So the Astro thing was a special deal. They only chose two officers out of the Air Force to do it, and that was the first year. So your dad was one of them. And then normally Air Force officers go to command and staff school in Montgomery. But if you're really lucky, you get to go either to the Marine school or to the Navy school in Norfolk. And so he got chosen for that. And it happens to be 6 months instead of, I'm wrong, Ben. We went from San Antonio, we went to Holloman Air Force Base. Missed an assignment there. So where were you your first? Yeah, because we were in Norfolk when you were 3 years old.
I have some memories of Norfolk, I feel like.
Yeah, you do. Because we've talked about it before. So you've got me curious. Where was your first birthday? Anyway, we moved from San Antonio to Holloman Air Force Base. Your dad, I was really annoyed with your dad about that, by the way, because when you left the Astro program, because you were in the administrative part and assigning pilots and trying to figure out where to put everybody that would work and make sense, you got your choice, your first choice of assignments. And so he was like, so his first choice and my first choice was Spangdahlen, which is in Holland, which is supposed to be the primo assignment in Europe. Because the Queen of Holland won't let anybody fly past 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's like a, you know, and it's right outside Amsterdam. And so we had an assignment to go there. I was like super stoked. I was so excited. I could not stand it. And like 2 weeks later, he came home and he was like, you know, the weather's not that great in Europe. And he said, you know, I love to fly every day. And he said, I changed my assignment to Holloman Air Force Base. And I was like, where in the hell is that? He was like, well, it's in Alamogordo, New Mexico. I was like, where is that?
And he said, it was an hour and a half from your parents. I think you'll love it.
I was furious. I was like,
that's amazing.
What? You what? I was like, yeah, the weather's perfect. You know, sunshine, 365 days a year. I'll get to fly every day. I was like, great.
And was there, did you guys have any foreshadowing of the squadron going to Vietnam? And would that have been the same in Holland?
Heck no. You know, they still, more pilots got shot down. And And they kept running. They ran out of pilots. And so, yeah, Bill comes home in May of 1973, I guess. And he was like, the entire wing, it wasn't just the squadron, it was all four squadrons. The entire wing is being shipped to Takhli Air Force Base to do the last Tet Offensive, to cover for the last Tet Offensive.
So if y'all had been in Holland, it would have done the same thing.
No.
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, because they cover they cover Europe, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so I was like, oh, great. Yeah, they had three days notice. That was pretty.
And had he been on tours in Vietnam before I was born, or were they all after I was born?
No. He did two tours before you were born.
Okay.
And then that Tet Offensive.
So the Takhli was the only one while I was alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You were. He left. We had Jake and Jones, you know, those crazy 6-month-old German short hairs, and you who
when
were
did
like
they, when did he leave for Takhli? When did he leave for Takhli?
May of 73, I'm guessing. That's May of 73. Okay. Yeah.
So y'all had been in Holloman for a year or so when he left to Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and then from there we went to Norfolk. And then when we left Norfolk, he got assigned to Vietnam for a year. That's when we
Again?
Went to Fairhope. Yeah.
Oh, so he did go twice while I was alive.
Yeah, he did go twice. Yeah.
And where was he when we were at Fairhope? Where was he?
He was at Da Nang.
It's
in Thailand. Yeah, Thailand.
Yeah, that's when you went to visit him.
Yeah. Okay. And you were going to go too. His first tour was in Cam Ranh Bay, which was South Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
His second tour was in Takhli, which was, I'm not sure whether Takhli was in South Vietnam or Thailand. I think it was South Vietnam.
No, it was like in Thailand.
In Thailand. Yep. Yeah, it was a base that had been closed down, and they went over there lived in those like tent cabin things, you know.
There's a name for the, it's not a Quonset hut, is it? Or it's, there's a,
no, it's got a different name.
Yeah, I've seen that there's a video that shows them like setting up the base and stuff. So I've got mental images of it.
Yeah.
That's the crew that I went to the reunion for was the Takhli crew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I told you, you know, that entire base was covered with jungle by the time that it had been closed down. But they went back and opened it back up, and they sprayed the entire thing with Agent Orange to kill all the vegetation, to set up everything. I told you, everybody in that squadron ended up with cancer.
Takhli people?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like Paul Rattenbush and that?
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
I read an email. Yeah.
Oh, like that's happened in recent years and stuff.
Well, you know, in the last 20, 30 years. But I mean, I think most of them recover. It was prostate cancer. Most of them recovered. But yeah, not good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Now I got to go pull out the 1970 photo album from Grandma and see where you were on your first birthday.
That's good. Well, we'll have follow up to get to that on our next interview. So we'll make sure to nail that down.
We will.
Maybe I'll have some aerial photos of the apartment that you can confirm or deny, and we'll see where I was.
That's weird that they would change the name because there was their Quail Creek came right through there, and it flood. You know how it floods, flash floods in San Antonio and Austin too.
Well, and this is, you know, these are like sending me to apartment rating websites. One of them calls it. It seems to go under two different names. One of them is calling it Quail Creek Village Apartments. And the same exact pin is called Silver Something Apartments.
Yeah, it was Quail Creek Village Apartments.
But based on your description, I think it's the same place. Who knows if it's the same buildings or not? But anyway, that's not terribly important, but interesting and fun to know. Are we gonna guess where I was for my first birthday? I'm gonna guess I was in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
I bet we came to the beach first. I'll call you back.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was an option. Okay. Yeah. That's
because I think you spent your birthdays at the beach until you were like 15 or 60. I don't think we missed a birthday at the beach for.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. I knew that once we had the house down there, I never missed one, but I didn't realize I had never missed one before that.
Yeah, because some of them we spent at Aunt Mary and Uncle Jimmy's, and some couple of them. Well, when I was pregnant with Billy, we spent at Babe and Suzelle's in the bottom floor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that. Well, they didn't have the top floor then, did they?
I don't think they did. Yeah, that's
no. I remember when they built that. It was like I was probably 13 or 14. Yeah. Or
I'm kind of digging your hair.
Yeah, it's as long as it's been since I cut it off, if that makes
sense.
It's
wild. So this morning I got up and I was like, I'm going to the grocery store early. And I actually got my hair in a ponytail. I'm super excited. I put on a ball cap. I was like, all right.
Have you had it cut since all this started, or is it?
Not really. I mean, it's a mess, but anyway, that's about how long it is.
Oh, it's looking good.
Yeah, it's down there.
You're looking great.
We have had rain here for days and days and days and days. I'm like sick of it. Looks like it's about to rain again. So anyway,
we had a little bit recently, but not that much. It was a beautiful, beautiful day here today.
Good. How's Chai? Is she doing good? Oh, 60 degrees. Awesome.
Yeah, we were up near 90 last week, but we've dropped back.
That won't last long.
No. We always get one or two of these little snaps in April. So
yeah, we had a couple of days in the 80s last week, and then all this rain started, and I was like, oh, I'm sick of this rain. I'm like, why? It's going to be 95 here before I know it. So.
Oh, and did I tell you about our hailstorm a couple of weeks ago?
No.
Yeah, we had a 4 o'clock in the morning, as loud as I've ever heard. It sounded like a bomb going off.
Hitting God, I know. It is so loud.
You know how it swoops in all at once and it just kind of revs up? And we thought nothing of it at the time. But then over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've been... You know, all the signs have gone up around the neighborhood for people doing roofs and fixing and stuff. And our neighbors, Kent and Carrie, he had $3,000 worth of damage to his car, and they're getting a new roof. So we're having the USAA guy come out on Friday to inspect our roof. So that's a whole
thing.
It's a whole other thing. It would not be the worst time for us. It's been 13 years since we got that roof replaced last time, if you can believe that. In fact, I believe it was 13 years to the day, because that day, March 25th this was the fifth, I believe, maybe either the fourth or the fifth time that there's been a major hailstorm in Austin on that day over the years. And I believe it was March 25th, 2008 that we got hit last. Our roof is not necessarily in need of replacement, but it's within 5 years of need of replacement.
Yeah.
So it would not be the worst time. I've looked at our car and it does not seem to be damaged, although I keep second guessing myself, but I'm pretty sure we're good to go there. So that's some news that I forgot to tell you about.
I'm going to can I flip this?
There you go.
Okay, so there you and I are at Fairhope in summer of 71.
Okay. Oh wow.
And look, my hair is just like it is today. Pulled back in a ponytail, and look what's over here. Same. This is hysterical. The peacock strutting. Uh-huh. And the turkeys. Let's see. You know what we did? We drove to El Paso for that wedding. When I gave you the Benadryl. Richard and Judy's.
Oh wow.
That was, look at Richard.
Uh-huh. I know that picture.
That's funny.
Lamb chop sideburns are classic.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Okay, here we go. Sam and I with Fran and Ben Bright drove from Uniontown to El Paso. Look at you. Look at you. All stayed with our friends Nell and Timmy Price. Let's see. Trying to find it.
And so hold on, let me ask. So remind me the timeline of when did Grandma and Granddad leave El Paso to move to Uniontown?
The 1970, the year you were born.
Okay, so they were, I was just confused because you said they drove from Uniontown back to El Paso with you. They were just going back to visit, or they?
The wedding. Yeah, for that.
That's okay. Oh, there's my box. Oh my God.
I know.
Or my chest. I've still got that chest under my bed right now.
You were learning to walk. You were going for the apple juice. That was the first time you ever stood up. I walked in your room and you were looking at me like, look at me.
And where was that?
In San Antonio.
San Antonio, yeah.
Oh, and that's when Mom and Dad first came to see you.
Uh-huh.
There awesome. You are. Oh, look at Mom. Warms your heart, doesn't it?
Those are great. Yeah, I haven't looked at those. I need to look at those albums next time I'm down there. I looked at them so much growing up that I've forgotten to go back and look at them as an adult. It's been a long time.
So I'm still trying to figure out where we were for your first birthday. Oh, there's Great Uncle Ben with you.
Oh, yeah, I know that picture.
Yeah. And my earpod just. Oh, okay. Ben, 1 year old, August 3rd. You were at Fairhope, Ben. There you are. I are under our current dining room table. I always love that picture. Look at.
That's a great one.
Dad. Yeah.
That's a great one. What are you guys, 12 there?
Yeah, look, I look like I'm about 12, don't I? There's Lou. And there we were. There we were when we went to Tampa.
Those are great photos.
Yeah. There you are.
Hanging
out in the pool.
Yeah. And that's in Tampa. Also, say, you told me earlier in this conversation, but what were we doing in Tampa?
Your dad was going to gunnery school or something, night gunnery school. Well, that's a classic.
Yeah, that is a classic. And so y'all lived in Tampa for a couple of months?
Three months. Yeah.
And then went back to San Antonio or stayed or was that?
No, and then went to San Francisco, I think. There you are with those giant pumpkins.
Or to Holloman, probably. From
Holloman,
San Antonio.
Yeah.
San Antonio.
Oh, he was retraining in the F4. That's right. That's exactly.
Okay. Is that when you sat through the hurricane in Tampa?
Yes, Hurricane Alma.
So I didn't realize that I was there. For some reason, I was pictured it being before I was allowed.
No, that was the second time we were in Tampa. It was the first time that we did the hurricane. Time. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
And look, Christmas 71, we were at Fairhope.
I remember that. I'm just kidding.
You don't remember that? Oh, and Ben was there. Look, he's holding you.
Uh-huh. I don't remember that, but I remember all these pictures.
Anyway, there you are in your rocking horse.
Mm-hmm.
That you love to go.
I remember that thing.
I remember that. Remember that was the best toy ever.
Oh, I do. That
creative playthings thing. Yeah.
That one lasted till at least Missoula. It might have made it to El Paso.
It did. That was a great toy. Golly. Creative playthings.
That's the beginning of my Scandinavian design fetish.
That's right. Anyway. All right. Okay. Yeah. We have to look at these albums next time you're down here. Anyway, yep. that was awesome. I enjoyed that.
Our
conversation.
Oh, yeah, yes. Me too. This was this exceeded all my expectations. I was nervous
and
about pulling it off, but I think
you're picking my brain. I've got a. I'm like, how could I not remember? That's what we were doing.
Well, it's always delightful to talk to you, and this was super fun doing this. So I've been wanting to do it for a long time, and here we are.
So we will continue our Billy is another interesting birth.
So I don't have, I have memories of that time, but I don't know that I have, maybe you'll jostle some specific memories of his birth, but I do remember sitting around watching or with you guys and great Uncle Ben in the library room with the only TV at Fairhope. And I remember doing that puzzle with the 13 monkeys on it, and I would make you time.
Yes.
Which is my first
God,
memory.
Were we always a competition?
Which is my first memory of doing something timed. But I can remember,
but not your last.
I can do that, and I can remember doing that puzzle in conjunction with talking about Billy or naming Billy. I guess we can leave that as a lead, some foreshadowing of our next conversation.
As a lead in to our next conversation. All right. Love you, sweetie.
Love you too. Have a great week.
That
and I'll talk to you on normal communication band.
You're looking kind of like Einstein.
That's what I'm. It's fun because I haven't grown my hair out in so long. It's, you know, every.
Well, every, me either. I'm like, people keep asking me if I'm going to get it cut, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't know when. It's kind
of
like fun.
Every five days is a new phase of like the exactly. combination of a new level of oiliness combined with a new length, and it's some days. And like the other day, I'd been wearing a hat, and it was kind of poofed down on my head, and I was like, oh my God, I've got Uncle Steve hair today.
Exactly. Yeah, I had as I said, I had a ball cap on this morning, so mine's totally flat to my head, but anyway, hey, it's okay.
All right, love you.
Love you. Tell you. Bye.
I will. Bye.